Welcome to Shaped by Faith with your host, Teresa Rowe. To find out more about Shaped by Faith and Teresa Rowe, please visit shapedbyfaith.com or visit the YouTube channel, Facebook, or Instagram. And now, here is Teresa Rowe.
Welcome to Shaped by Faith, where we shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. My guest today is Lisa Mensch. She is going to share her heart story. We're still in the month of February. February is all about the spiritual and physical heart, and Lisa does have a story to share. Now, I know Lisa, I know her more recently because she's joined my fitness classes, but I've known her through the years. I've seen her out racing. I've seen her out running with her and her husband, and you never know what someone has gone through until you get to talk to them. And so that's what Lisa and I did recently with a conversation. I'm like, you need to share your story. So Lisa, thanks for being a guest on Shaped by Faith.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad to do it.
Okay. So I want to give the listeners a little bit of your background. So tell us about yourself, where you grew up, and what your life was like.
Well, I'm actually from Owensboro. I've lived most of my life here, but when I was in high school, my mom and stepfather moved to Indiana. That's where I met Scott, and we dated there. And I, at the very end of my high school, and I actually was a runner on the not cross country, but track. We really didn't have women or girls in our cross countries, but I did track and stuff. So that's where I started running.
Okay. So what drew you to running? Did this just come natural for you, or how did you happen upon it?
I really don't remember. I just remember there was just I wanted to get active in school and join something, and running seemed pretty easy.
Oh my goodness.
Until I did it. But wow. It was a little harder than that, than you think, but I liked it. And so I just kept doing it.
Well, there's definitely a discipline when it comes to running, especially track. You know, yeah. You have to train your body, and you've got to put in the time. So you were always physically active as a child and a young adult?
Yes. You know, when we were kids, you know, mom sent you outside during the summer and you stayed outside and played. And you rode your bike and you ran around the neighborhood and stuff. So I was very active as a kid and growing up. Even as a young teenager, we played basketball in the neighborhood and stuff. So we were always out and about. We didn't sit and watch TV or anything like that.
No, we were not allowed to watch TV during the day. That's for sure. So same story with me. We were basically booted out the door in the summertime, but we enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah.
Boy, times were different back then.
They were.
What line of work did you go into?
Well, I actually, when I moved here back to Owensboro, so I got married, Scott and I got married in 1985. And then a few years later, we moved back to Owensboro. He was from Lagodi, Indiana, and then he transplanted with me. And so I went to school and I got a 4-year degree and I became a teacher. I had actually a teaching degree. I wound up working at Sylvan Learning Center for a few years. But I just really, it wasn't what I wanted to do. So I ran into someone and I wound up getting a job at River Valley Behavioral Health as the director over there, housing HUD coordinator there. So that's what I did for like 16, 17 years.
Okay. So let's talk about your faith a little bit, Lisa. Were you and Scott going to church? Were you followers of Christ? Were you serious about, you know, your faith, or where were you at this point in your life?
Well, I got saved very young. I was 8 years old. My parents didn't go to church, but I walked down to the neighbor's house and I went to church with them every Sunday. So I got saved very early, and faith was very important to me my whole life. But when we moved back here, you know, we had kids and stuff. So we weren't as, we went to church, but there was something missing. It was just, you know, that checking off the box kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of got into a rut of that for a little while.
Okay. All right. So as you and I were talking the other day, you'd mentioned to me that we were talking about weight and different things like that, but you'd mentioned that you had noticed some weight gain in your 30s. So,
yes.
What did you do about it?
Well, you know, I had always been about the same size. So in my 30s, when I was working and my kids were in school and stuff, I was a lot less active, sitting in my office all day. So I noticed that I had started gaining some weight. And the reason I noticed is because my clothes were getting tight and I was getting close to having to go up a size, and I did not want to do that. So I started watching what I ate, and I started running, started out walking, running, and then running until I could run 3 miles. So I kind of did that for a while, where I just run 3 miles every day, and that took the weight off, and I felt much better.
Did you run with your husband or by yourself, Lisa?
We ran some together, but he was much faster than I was. So we would wind up, start, we had this thing that we did that was hilarious. He worked at OMU, and I would meet there, and he would do a 6.5 mile loop, and I'd do a 5 mile loop. So the first 3/4 of a mile we were together, and then we just ran naturally or raced, one or the other. Yeah. Raced as we got back first. So that was more what we did. We were very competitive all the time. So,
well, that's good. It's also great that you and your husband could run together. I mean, I think that's awesome when couples can do that. How many years did you run? We're going to get into your heart story, but how many years did you run before you started noticing some things?
So I think I was 34 or 35 when I started running, and I started having some issue when I was 41. So about 6 or 7 years.
Okay, so let's talk about what you notice. And so you were explaining to me that you and your husband were doing this track workout.
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you share your story?
So I hadn't done much track workout, but I wanted to get a little faster. So he's like, this is the way to do it. So it's in the middle of the summer in July, so it's warm outside. And we put these heart rate monitors on, and he's like, run as fast as you can all the way around. So I did. And I got to the end. He's like, okay, what's your heart rate? And I said, 198. He said, no, it's not. And I'm like, yeah, it is. So he came over there and looked at it, and he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, it must not work. He said, let's switch. So he took my monitor and I took his, and we did it again. Well, this time I was 203 and his was like 160. So he's like, okay, no more running. So from there, he's like, okay, you don't need to run until you see a doctor and we make sure everything's okay.
Before that time, Lisa, were you having any symptoms when you ran? Did you notice anything different? I know your heart rate was super high.
No. Well, I really didn't even know it was high. I mean, I just ran. I knew, you know, because I didn't really wear a monitor all the time, and I had a watch that told me how many miles I went, but it didn't watch my heart rate or anything. So I really had no idea that there was any problem, you know, at all. So I went to the doctor, and I didn't know really there was a difference between heart doctors either. And I went to see one, and he's like, well, you're fine, but I'm a plumber and you need an electrician. So I had to go to another doctor. And that's when he started doing some tests and stuff on my heart.
So the first doctor that you went to, Lisa, did he run any tests on you to know that you were having some different issues that he couldn't treat you?
No, he did run some stuff, but like he was checking for blockages and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And have anything like that. My heart, everything was clear. So he's like, it must be electrical. It must be with the electrical part of your heart. So he's like, let's send you to, you know, I can't remember what they call them, but they deal with more with electric pulses and stuff in your heart.
Right. I think it's an electrophysiologist, something like that. Yeah. Okay. So you're going to this new doctor. Mm-hmm. So did he run all sorts of tests on you?
He did. He ran a lot of tests. I wore a heart monitor. He wanted to just see what was going on. He did blood work, all kinds of things just to see. And it showed that I had tachycardia and bradycardia, which is the slow heart rate. Mm-hmm. So I had extremes, you know, and that was... But at that point, you know, he was like, do you have any symptoms, you know, besides the fast or slow heart rate? And I'm like, no. And he said, well, we can go in and try to do an ablation, but I didn't really want to do it because it wasn't affecting me at that time.
Right. Well, let's take a quick break because I want to hear more of your story and I want to have enough time. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Shape by Faith. Welcome back to Shape by Faith, where we shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. Heart Month. Yay. We're in the month of February and Lisa Minch is my guest. And Lisa, okay, so you're explaining to me you started running around the age of 34, 35, which is awesome. You were running this track kind of event with your husband to train to get faster, and then your heart rate shot up really high. So, all right, so you're at this doctor that treats the electrical system in the wiring in your heart, and he's running all kinds of tests. So go from there. I know you said that you had a slow heart rate and then you had a really high heart rate and you would mention the ablation. So what happened after that?
Well, after he mentioned, you know, he had mentioned maybe doing an ablation, and I was very reluctant. I didn't want to do anything at that point because.
Can you explain what that is, Lisa, real quick? So our listeners
know.
So
when you go into tachycardia, what happened is I have an extra pathway that electrical current would get caught up in and then go in circles. So I could be sitting down and my heart would be 42, 43, and then all of a sudden I get in that pathway and it jumped to like 180. And so so they would go in and take I can't think of what it is, but something that's hot and ablate that thing. So they would heat it up, burn it, and it would cause a scar. Well, then that electrical current couldn't pass through that any longer. So that would keep it from getting out of that regular pathway and keep my heart at a normal rate.
So did he go in and actually do that for you?
Well, this is in 2006 and I declined.
Okay.
So I said, I didn't want to do that. So because I wasn't having any symptoms. So I just kept running and normal. I didn't have any symptoms for probably a year and a half. And then I started, like, when I would finish running, I felt like my heart rate was just staying up. And so after one run, I was standing by my car and I kind of blacked out for a few seconds. And then another time I was driving after a run, right after my run, I pulled out of the parking lot and I blacked out in my car.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so I went back to the doctor.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah, and I just said, you know, I'm having a little bit. So he checked it, and I had also started having a little bit of times where I would be sitting or sleeping, and it would jump out of rhythm, and then I would be waking up or whatever. So over the next year or so, I went to see him once a month, and we just kind of followed it, you know. So he gave me things to do to make sure before I got in a car or anything, or before I tried to do anything, that my heart rate was down at a level that I would not pass out, you know, or black out.
What things did he give you to do to try and control the heart rate?
Well, you know, like for one thing, like if you will sit down, like, and bend your knees and like kind of lean over just a hair,
uh-huh.
It kind of stops your heart rate from flooding through. And when you just lean over, and so I would do that to kind of let my heart rate slow down, and then sometimes I would just sit and drink cold water, which I don't really like drinking cold water, but it, because I don't know what the water did, but like the cold water, he would have me drink that.
That's interesting. Yeah. Wow.
But the two blackouts were probably a month or two in between each other. They weren't like right beside each other. But so I saw him after the first one and then again. And then, but I still didn't really want, so he wanted to give me medicine, but I don't handle medication very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to do that. So then we started really talking more about maybe trying to do the ablation. And stopping it, you know, because I was starting to have a lot more of these episodes. And then before I saw him the last time, I believe I told you I had an episode that lasted 45 minutes. And that was kind of the last thing for me, because that really scared me. You know, it made me think, okay, you know, I really couldn't control it anymore at all, you know.
Right. Did he know why your heart was getting more and more out of rhythm?
He didn't. And I guess it's just because, I guess because it, once it starts doing it, because it didn't do it at all at first, you know, like before 2006, I never had a problem.
Right.
And then, so I don't know if it just starts to get in that other pathway more often, you know, and I don't know if it become more used. I don't know. I really don't. He didn't give me any, and I don't even know that I asked that particular question at that point. I just knew it was getting worse. You know?
Just wanted it fixed.
Yes.
Okay. So did you go in for your heart ablation?
I did.
Okay.
So we went in, we actually did it here in Owensboro, and I was in the, I guess the surgery room, and they he hooked me up and he started giving me adrenaline to try to get my heart rate out of rhythm. I was in there probably 10 hours of just like trying to give me adrenaline, but it wasn't effective for me. And but I would get nauseous. So then he would give me fenugreek, which would make me sleepy. So we did like a back and forth thing for hours and hours, and was very exhausting for me. And then when he couldn't get it out, he started talking to me about going ahead and putting the pacemaker in. And I had agreed to that if my natural pathway was ablated also, but not on any other circumstances. And I really don't feel like at that point I was in any condition to make that decision, but he asked me anyway. And I was just ready to be done. You know, after 11 and a half hours, I wanted to be done with all that.
Right.
And so then he went and told my husband that I agreed to go ahead and do the pacemaker, that we thought that that would be the best option. And so that's what happened.
I'm surprised he didn't put you on a treadmill and say, run.
Yeah.
I don't think they do that in the, you know, and put you on the operating table at the same time, but that would have probably kicked it up there, but I'm not a cardiologist, so I have no room to speak, but I'm just thinking common sense. So, okay. So the pacemaker. All right. So how did this procedure go for you? You have a pacemaker in now?
I do not. So he put it in, and this was in 2009.
Okay.
In September. And from there, things got extremely worse. So a pacemaker, it's the lowest setting it can go on to pace your heart for you is 65. Well, mine.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my normal is 42. And so that was very fast for me. So that affected me very negatively, especially when I was trying to sleep. But even during the day, I don't know if it was just because it kept my heart rate up so fast all the time. I know it's not fast for most people, but for someone who's, you know, 15, 20 beats slower, it was. And it just had a very negative effect on me. And having the pacemaker was negative for me. It was very overwhelming and emotional thing for me during that time. And so I would get dizzy. I barely could work. I mean, I couldn't drive. And so I went, it was a really hard time to, at that moment, you know, and then I went back to him and talked to him about it and questioned him about the pacemaker being put in because, you know, that wasn't what we had spoken about before. And he got very, offended or, you know, about by me questioning him. He didn't like that at all. And so really negatively affected our relationship. And actually probably after that visit was probably the last time that I saw him.
You know, we should all be advocates for our own health, Lisa. You know this as well as I do. And if someone gets angry, if we question them about our own health, it probably is time to have a really long conversation or, you know, agree that you disagree and part ways. So what you did was probably the right thing. And you know, that's enough. And I've had similar things happen to me in my past with different things regarding my own heart. So we want to share with the listeners out there that you have to be your own health advocate and you have to pursue you know, if there's things going on with you, it's okay to question. You should be able to question, why is this happening? Or why did you do this? And, you know, that's fine. You need to listen and have awareness what's going on in your body. Let's take a real quick break. And we're going to hear the rest of Lisa's story coming up on Shaped by Faith. Welcome back to Shaped by Faith. Okay, Lisa, you're going through this trauma, challenging time with your heart and your physician. Where was your faith during this period of time?
Well, I think, you know, it was probably being tried a little, you know, because we want to wonder, why did this happen to me? And, you know, you hear people say it all the time. But sometimes, you know, we go through hard things and God allows us to, and we don't always get to know why. And so that's where faith does come in. We have to just trust him, trust that he knows what's best for us and that he's leading us in the right direction. And I really still don't know why, but I know that I'm stronger now for it and that I'm healthier and that he will see you through it no matter what it is. Just keep your eyes on him and just keep praying and talking to him, and he'll guide you through it all. He always will. He won't leave your side when you need him.
That's good. So you had a strong faith at this point in time. Okay, so did you find another heart doctor?
I did. So we asked around to some friends, and we found a doctor, and he was in Evansville. And so we got in. We luckily got somebody pulled some strings and helped us get in pretty quickly. It didn't seem quickly to me at that time because I wasn't able to sleep with my heart rate so high. And I didn't mention that when I do go to sleep, my heart rate drops down even lower to like 28 to 30. Mm-hmm. So 65 was very hard for me to sleep. So I was very sleep deprived at this point. So we went to see a doctor. His name was Dr. Patel in Evansville. And he put a heart rate monitor on, and I wore it for a weekend and then sent it back to him on Monday. And he called us personally on his phone, and he was really a gift from God. He's very compassionate and understanding. He's like, I'm going to try to get you in as soon as possible. I don't know how you're surviving this. He couldn't believe how many episodes I was having every night.
Wow.
And so he was very compassionate, and he was going to try to get me in that week. And Friday comes, and he wasn't able to, and he didn't call. So I was like, you know, Scott, you got to call. And so he called, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to get you in. Well, I just fall apart. I start crying because I'm like, I'm just so desperate to have something change, you know? And so he asked Scott, he was in Evansville. It was 45 minutes away. He said, how quick can you get here? And so we drove over there immediately, and he wasn't able to take the pacemaker out or fix my heart yet, but he could turn the pacemaker off. And that was a huge relief because then I could at least sleep. And I still had my episodes occasionally, but it wasn't as constant. So I was able to actually get some rest, and that helped a lot.
Okay, so that's amazing that he could turn that off. Why didn't the other doctor do that? But who knows? Yeah. Okay. All right. What about your pacemaker? Did that eventually come out?
It did. So he set me up an appointment to have an ablation, and he was actually able to get it to come out of rhythm so he could find a pathway. It took him 3 tries, so we did have to have 3 more surgeries, but he was able to finally ablate and clean and then block off that extra pathway. And then after a month with no episodes, a month or so later, he took out the pacemaker. So I no longer have the pacemaker in. So I'm back to normal.
So you doing good now? You feel good?
Yes. Yes, I am. I had the pacemaker taken out in February of 2010, and in 2011 and 2012, I ran another marathon.
Oh, so, wow. You must have felt really good after that. Okay. So do you occasionally have those episodes where your heart goes real high or not? Is that fixed?
No. So I still have the high and low, uh-huh. but it's usually induced by exercise. So like when I'm exercising, when I'm running, like if it's hot out and I'm, you know, I'll get up in the 190s still, mm-hmm. but And my heart rate is higher than most, like, you know, like you were talking about that level where you burn. I don't really know what that level is for me because mine isn't normal. Like even just regular slow running, I'm at 170 to 180 and just regular running, just nice and easy. But that's just normal, you know. And then when I'm not running, it's in the 40s. So it's, I just have a high,
you've got different. One from one extreme to the other, but that's your heart.
Yeah.
And you just have to know how to manage it and what to do about it. And it's good that, you know, originally your husband noticed that you needed to go to the doctors and find out why that heart rate was so high, because if he wouldn't have, who knows, but you know, God's had his hand on you this whole time. Lisa, how would you encourage someone going through a challenging time in their life with their own health?
Well, I would say, you know, like I was saying earlier, we want to ask why, but that really isn't important, why it happened to you. Good things happen to good people and bad things happen to good people. And you know, we live in a broken world, so things happen. So we just have to focus on what's right in hand, right in front of you, and what he's trying to do in that moment. What is he trying to get you to see or understand or learn from this incident in your life? Because he's always going to use it for your good, for you to learn. He's going to take whatever the devil throws at you and he's going to turn it to good.
Absolutely.
So you just have to look for that. What is he trying to show me? What is he trying to get me to from here?
What does your exercise look like now?
Well, I do your classes every morning right now, and then try to run 3 or 4 days a week. I try to get 4 or 5 miles in.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing your story. You just never know what someone has went through, and I didn't even know that about you, but thank you so much. I appreciate
you. You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for listening. I'm Teresa Rowe. Everyone have a blessed day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Shaped by Faith with Teresa Rowe. Remember to visit shapedbyfaith.com to find out more about workouts, the TV show, podcasts, blogs, Shaped by Faith products, and much more.